All right, let's dive in. Today we're looking at DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, especially since, well, you know, Trump's back in office.
Yeah.
We've got some interesting stuff to work with here. Your own notes, some American Thinker, the College Fix, even a piece from USA Today.
Sounds like you want to get to the bottom of what people are saying about DEI these days.
That's exactly it. Beyond the headlines, you know, we're digging into the arguments, the evidence, all that, about this whole DEI backlash everyone's talking about.
Interesting.
And oh boy, speaking of that American Thinker article, wow, Janet Levy doesn't pull any punches.
No, she does not.
Calls DEI a failed ideology, says it's about dividing people, even throws around reverse racism.
Yeah.
Heavy stuff.
Yeah, strong language for sure. And, you know, that term reverse racism, it's a real flashpoint.
I can imagine.
Some people, they say it's absolutely a thing. Others, they argue racism needs, well, power structures behind it, favoring certain groups, you know? So, I mean, not to get into that whole debate ourselves, but it's important to understand Levy's using this term to show how some people feel a real sense of injustice, like things have swung too far the other way.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
She also says DEI programs are hurting the very people they're supposed to help. Like, they lower standards and make people afraid to speak their minds.
You got to look at these claims carefully. Some might say focusing on representation, yeah, maybe it could lead to lower standards, but others might say those old standards, they were already biased to begin with, keeping talented folks from different backgrounds from getting a fair shot.
That's a good point.
And the free speech thing, well, that's a common criticism of a lot of social movements, isn't it?
True.
It's worth looking at whether DEI initiatives are actually limiting free speech, or is it more about people feeling uncomfortable saying certain things, you know, things that might be seen as insensitive?
Okay, so we've got this narrative building. DEI is the problem, not the solution.
Right.
But are there real-world examples of this backlash?
Oh, absolutely. Remember those companies you flagged? Walmart, Ford, Molson Coors, they've all been cutting back their DEI programs.
Yeah, and Walmart changing diversity, equity, and inclusion to belonging for all. Some people are calling it a PR move, trying to dodge the whole DEI controversy.
Smart move from a PR standpoint, for sure. But the real question is, does the name change mean they're actually doing things differently? To really know, we'd need to dig into the actual policy changes, if there are any, that go along with the rebranding.
Feels like companies are stuck between a rock and a hard place. Got to be seen as progressive and inclusive, but then you get this backlash from people who think DEI has gone too far.
It's a real tension, yeah. And people like Charles Gasparino, the Go Woke, Go Broke guy, they fuel that fire.
Right.
Arguing that companies are putting profits on the line for political correctness. His book and people like, what's his name, Robbie Starbuck, they're pushing this narrative that DEI is bad for business.
Oh, and there's that study Levy mentions, instructing animosity, saying DEI training actually makes bias worse.
Yeah.
She uses that to back up her whole claim that DEI is doing more harm than good.
It is an interesting study, but it's only one piece of the puzzle. And, well, like any research, it's got its limitations.
You mean we should just take it at face value?
Exactly. We can't jump to conclusions from just one study. We need to look at the bigger picture, all the research on DEI training. And that research paints a much more complicated picture.
So it's not so simple as saying all DEI training is bad or all DEI training is good.
You got it. This is why we have to look at these issues carefully and avoid oversimplifying things.
Speaking of oversimplification, Levy brings up the whole Bud Light thing with Dylan Mulvaney, right?
Mm-hmm.
As an example of woke marketing backfiring, hurting business.
Oh, yeah. The Bud Light case. Very interesting. It shows just how hard it is to appeal to everyone, especially with society so polarized.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, they see it as a classic example of how companies can lose their core customers by trying to be everything to everyone. Others might say it just shows how much backlash there is when companies try to be inclusive.
Yeah, it depends on how you look at it, I guess.
It's a tightrope walk for companies, balancing all these pressures and expectations. But it's not just the corporate world dealing with this.
Right.
Remember that College Fix article you sent? Looks like higher education's in the crosshairs of this backlash, too.
Absolutely, yeah. It talks about how WASC, the Western Association of Schools and Colleges, might remove DEI from their accreditation standards. Big deal, since they accredited a lot of universities out west.
It is big. Their decisions can have a domino effect across academia.
And with Trump saying he wants to cut funding to universities promoting DEI, it's like a 1-2 punch for places already dealing with budget issues and political scrutiny.
Definitely worrying for those who see DEI as essential for a truly inclusive learning environment. That article also quotes PE, America, the free speech group, they're worried about universities caving to political pressure, sacrificing academic freedom.
So we're seeing this tug of war in both the corporate world and higher education. And then there's that USA Today piece takes things in a whole other direction, linking DEI to pro-Hamas sentiment on campuses. Now we're getting into some really tricky territory.
You're not wrong. This is a sensitive and complex issue that needs a lot of nuance, a lot of careful thought. We got to remember there are tons of different perspectives within the DEI movement, and when we talk about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
So how do we even start to understand this argument? Connecting DEI to supporting Hamas seems like a big leap.
We got to be critical, avoid generalizations. That opinion piece, what the author's saying is that certain ways of looking at DEI principles, specifically those that focus on power dynamics and historical oppression, well, they could create an environment where being anti-Israel gets seen as the same thing as supporting the Palestinian cause,
right,
no matter the specific groups or ideologies involved.
So they're saying that focusing on power imbalances might accidentally fuel hostility toward Israel, because Israel is often seen as the more powerful side in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
That's one interpretation. And it's important to remember this isn't exactly a common view in the DEI movement. A lot of DEI proponents would probably say their goal is a more just and inclusive society for everyone, no matter their background or beliefs.
Right. And most people involved in DEI aren't promoting violence or backing terrorist groups like Hamas.
Absolutely not. But the author's point, even if it seems provocative, does raise interesting questions about what DEI might lead to, especially in a supercharged political climate.
Like what?
Well, could certain interpretations of DEI or how it's put into practice actually contribute to people becoming even more divided on complicated global issues? That's something worth thinking about.
This is a lot to take in. It feels like we've barely scratched the surface of this whole DEI debate.
Yeah, we have. That's why it's so important to have these conversations, to think about these issues carefully and critically.
Well, my brain is officially full. We've covered so much, from companies and politics to academic freedom and the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
Yeah.
Clearly, this DEI conversation is far from over. Hashtag TTS, the deep dive episode 2024-1209, part 2 of 3.
A lot to unpack, for sure. And it makes me wonder, what's the end goal here? If DEI is supposed to create a fairer, more inclusive world, what does that actually look like?
Yeah, $1 million question, right? And I think a lot of folks are wrestling with that right now. These sources we've been looking at, they give a very specific critical view of DEI.
Right.
But we got to remember, there are a lot of other viewpoints out there.
Exactly. And we have to consider all those different viewpoints if we want to have a real productive talk about the future of DEI. Like, some people say we need to move beyond just representation, get to the root causes of inequality.
Makes sense. Like systemic bias, discrimination, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Having different faces in the room, that's not enough. We need a culture where everyone feels valued, respected, empowered to contribute.
So it's about more than just checking boxes, meeting quotas.
Way more. It's about changing how we think, challenging what we assume, dismantling those structures that keep inequality going.
Okay, so let's bring this back to the sources. We saw companies cutting back on DEI, maybe because of money, brand image, or pressure from certain people.
Mm-hmm.
But what if instead of ditching DEI completely, they focused on doing things that really make a difference?
Good point. Instead of just surface-level diversity, they could focus on making their workplaces truly inclusive.
How so?
Addressing pay gaps, giving opportunities to underrepresented groups, building a culture of respect and belonging.
And maybe instead of seeing DEI as bad for business, like Charles Gasparino says, they could see it as an advantage.
Right. A diverse and inclusive workforce, that means more perspectives, more ideas, more experiences, could lead to innovation, better decisions.
There's research backing that up.
There is, yeah. Companies with more diverse leadership, they tend to do better than those that are less diverse.
So it's a win-win. Companies can do good and do well at the same time.
Exactly. That's important to remember. DEI isn't just some moral obligation. It can be good for business, too.
But it's not just about profits, is it? There's also the moral argument for a society where everyone has a fair shot, no matter their background.
Absolutely. And that takes us back to what we were saying about addressing the root causes of inequality.
Right. But that's where it gets really tricky.
Yeah.
Systemic bias, discrimination, that stuff's baked into our institutions, our social structures.
It is. Not easy to spot or dismantle. But there are people and groups out there working hard to do just that.
Can you give us some examples? Because it's easy to feel overwhelmed by how big the problem is and not know where to start.
Sure. There are tons of groups pushing for policy changes that promote equity, things like criminal justice reform, affordable housing, access to good education.
Mm-hmm.
There are organizations helping marginalized communities through education, job training, programs for starting businesses.
Empowering people to create their own opportunities.
Exactly. And there are people using their voices to raise awareness, challenge stereotypes, promote understanding.
Sounds like a whole network of people working at different levels to tackle these deep-rooted issues.
That's it. And real change needs this multifaceted approach. It's not just about government or companies. It's about individuals taking action, having tough conversations, looking at their own biases.
So we all have a part to play in creating a more just and inclusive world.
We do. We can all contribute through what we say, what we do, supporting those working for positive change.
This is starting to feel more hopeful. Instead of just focusing on the problems, the backlash, we're seeing solutions, possibilities.
I agree. We gotta hold on to that hope, even when the challenges seem huge. Cynicism and despair, they won't get us anywhere. We have to believe change is possible, that we can build a better future.
Well said. And speaking of the future, let's talk about how this whole DEI debate is affecting higher education. That College Fix article raised some serious concerns about politics interfering with universities.
It did. Remember how they talked about WASC maybe removing DEI from their accreditation standards? That could change everything for higher education.
And with Trump wanting to cut funding for universities that push DEI, it's a lot of pressure for places that are already struggling with money and scrutiny.
Definitely concerning for those who believe DEI is crucial for a truly inclusive learning environment. They even quoted PN America, that free speech group, right? They're worried about universities bowing to political pressure, giving up academic freedom in the process.
It's scary to think universities might abandon DEI just to please politicians. What would that do to students, faculty, the whole academic environment?
It's a valid concern. Universities, they're supposed to be places where different ideas are welcomed and debated.
Right.
But if they're forced to follow a narrow political agenda, that could stifle curiosity, limit academic freedom, make it less welcoming for students and faculty from underrepresented backgrounds.
Yeah, and PN America was worried about free speech being stifled too, right?
Right.
Like, could this pressure to avoid certain topics related to DEI backfire and lead to self-censorship?
That's a real danger. If people feel like they can't speak freely, have open and honest conversations, we can't learn, grow, or find common ground.
So it's a balancing act. We have to protect academic freedom, make sure universities are places where different perspectives can thrive.
Right.
But we also need to be wary of political interference and how it can shut down open discussion.
Exactly. And this is where faculty, students, and administrators have a big role to play. They need to push back against censorship, defend diversity, equity, and inclusion, not just as ideas, but as vital parts of a healthy intellectual community.
It's a call to action for everyone in higher education to stand up for what they believe in, protect academic freedom, and intellectual diversity.
Absolutely. Those are the core values of a university and a democracy. They're supposed to be places where we challenge assumptions, explore new ideas, debate constructively.
Right.
And that only works if everyone feels safe, respected, and valued.
Well said. And speaking of challenging assumptions, let's go back to that USA Today piece that connected DEI to pro-Hamas sentiment on campuses. We need to unpack that argument more, explore what it means. This is one of those topics that can easily get out of hand.
Absolutely. It's sensitive, needs nuance, and a willingness to hear different sides.
So how do we even have a productive conversation about this?
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to acknowledge concerns about anti-Semitism on campuses.
Right.
But we can't just lump all criticism of Israel in with supporting Hamas or other terrorist groups.
You're right. And we can't make sweeping judgments about entire groups based on their politics or their views on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Remember, most people involved in DEI aren't promoting violence or terrorism.
Okay, so what's the real issue here? Is it that DEI could be used to push a specific agenda, or is it something deeper?
I think it's both. Maybe part of it is misunderstanding or misinterpreting DEI. Some people might see DEI as automatically anti-Israel or anti-Western, which is just not true. But there's also the bigger political picture. The Israeli-Palestinian conflict, it's a hot-button issue, often used to divide people politically. And unfortunately, DEI can get caught in the middle.
So it's not really about DEI itself, but how it's seen or used within a larger political fight?
Exactly. That's why we need open, honest conversations about these things, understanding different perspectives, challenging our own biases, finding ways to talk constructively even when we disagree. Shutting down conversations, labeling whole groups as the problem, that won't get us anywhere. Just divides us more.
Well said. I think that's a great place to stop for now. We've covered so much from the good things about DEI to the challenges of putting it into practice in this complicated, often divided world.
Yeah,
And we've seen how these things play out in different areas, from companies and universities to global politics. But I think the main takeaway is that these are conversations we need to have. Keep asking questions, challenging assumptions, looking for different perspectives. That's how we create a more just and inclusive society for everyone. Hashtag TTS The Deep Dive, episode 2024-1209, part 3 of 3. Wow, feels like we've been on a roller coaster of ideas and complexities, huh? From companies to universities to our global issues.
It really shows how DEI is tied to everything, you know, social stuff, economic stuff, politics, it's all connected.
Looking back at all the stuff we've talked about, it's clear there's this worry that DEI is losing steam, especially with the political climate and all those arguments against it.
Yeah, the sources definitely paint that picture, don't they? Companies scaling back, accusations of reverse racism, potential impacts on academic freedom, it all points to things maybe shifting.
Feels like we're at a crossroads, you know? The future of DEI is up for debate, people questioning if it even works.
But here's the thing. In all this back and forth, people still want a fairer, more inclusive society. The question is, how do we actually get there?
That's the big question. It takes us back to what we talked about before. If we want a world where everyone belongs, everyone has equal chances, what's the best way to get there?
It's a tough question. Needs real thought, open discussion. Maybe instead of just focusing on numbers, we need to look deeper at the things that hold people back.
You mean like unconscious bias, policies that discriminate, unequal access to resources, all that?
Exactly. And maybe we need to rethink how we talk about and implement DEI. Less divisive language, less blame, more focus on shared values and goals, you know?
So instead of seeing it as us versus them, where one group wins and the other loses, we focus on a system that's fair for everyone.
Right. Diversity and inclusion, they make us stronger, more creative, better at solving problems. We need to emphasize that.
So it's about getting past all the noise and division and working together toward a common goal.
And that's where we all come in. Challenging our own biases, speaking out against injustice, supporting those working for change. We all have a part to play in building a more inclusive future.
This whole deep dive has been a good reminder. The DEI conversation is complicated and tough, but we can't ignore it.
I agree. Talking about these issues, listening to different perspectives, finding solutions, that's how we create a society where everyone has the chance to thrive.
So to our listener, as you think about all this, remember that building a fairer, more equitable world, it's a journey. It takes constant reflection, open conversations, and commitment to making things better. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and keep those minds working.